The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
No, the bulletin says I have one passage of scripture this morning, but actually I'm going to read three. The first one is the one printed in your bulletin in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning with verse 3. It said, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way of my forefathers did, and I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that you may be filled with joy, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am remindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of the power and of the love and of discipline. Second scripture is in the third chapter of that same book, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Begin reading with verse 12. 1 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's not a verse of scripture we like to read very often. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things which you've learned and have come convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them and from your infancy or your childhood, you have known the sacred writings which we are able to give you, the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for the training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped in every good work. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul came to Lystra. In the first verse, Acts 16:1, he also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by his brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. Well, they all knew that his father was Greek. Now they were passing through the cities. They were delivering decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. And so the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increased in numbers daily. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the opportunity we have to be here in this place at this time and celebrate this day. We thank you that you're a good God who designed for us to live in families, but we pray that you'll teach us the spiritual truths that are applicable to us every day of our lives, no matter what our gender or our family circumstances may be. And that we ask this morning that there'll be a movement of your Holy Spirit, that we would be keenly aware of your presence, that would draw us to the place of commitment and to surrender of our lives to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. I know and realize that Mother's Day is supposed to be a happy day, but it's not always that way for everybody. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind that. Some of us, our mothers are gone a long time ago. I still remember my mother was a dedicated Christian. I'm probably preaching today because of the influence that she had upon my life. But she died when I was 19 years old of cancer that she had suffered with for 4 years. And today I look back and I still, you know, remember her and things she taught me, and see her sitting in the choir at our church singing when I grew up, and Lear sitting on a sick bed in a bedroom and witnessing to every person who came to see her. You know, she had such an impact on my life, but she's gone. For some of us, it is a sad day because our mothers aren't here anymore. For some of us, Mother's Day is not necessarily the best day in the world because we may have wanted children, couldn't have children, and so it's a very difficult time for us. And there's a longing and desire, and we don't always understand why those things have happened. Some of us are maybe mothers here who have lost a child in death, and that is always a great reminder that comes as we think about that. Or maybe there's pain going on because of something happening in the family with the children and other things right now. And for some, you're kind of flying solo, perhaps. You got children, and you kind of got the load on yourself, and it's hard to, you know, take care of that. And those memories are not always necessarily good as we think back on that. But nevertheless, if we search through Scripture, we find some great examples of women. And the thing that always sets them apart is they had a great faith to be obedient unto God. I think of Moses' mother. She was so strong and spiritual that she was able to defy the very nation of Egypt and the Pharaohs that was there, and to protect her child, and then to break the law to teach him the faith of his Jewish descendants, and, you know, and the faith of his fathers. And raised him up, and God used him in a mighty way, and it started all with the influence of a mother who was so protective over that son, Moses. Or I think of the mother like James and John, who loved her boy so much that she went to Jesus and said, when you get into your kingdom, I want one of them to sit on the right hand, the other to sit on the left. It was kind of bold to go to, you know, that great teacher. Or the sacrificial mother that came before King Solomon and was willing for her child to be given to another woman to be raised rather than to be injured because she loved her child and the sacrifice that was there. Or the mother of King Lemuel, who gave the advice that we read in Proverbs 31 about the good mother, and who wrote that psalm and that portion of the Proverbs. But there are some things we can learn from our mothers which are spiritual. But let me tell you some. Those things apply to all of us, whether we're men or women. The things I want to talk about today, folks, are true for all of us. It is indeed a family. You know, now, I believe with all of my heart that God put a pattern in the family. The man is to be the spiritual leader of that family. We talk about he's to be the head of the family, the head of the woman. And I remember a friend of mine in college who used to boss his girlfriend around and tell her that he was the head of the family and she had to obey him. Now, she was a sweet little girl who would get up and do whatever he told her to do, you know. And I told him I wouldn't have done it, okay, because God never intended for men to boss women around, folks. He intended for you to lead them in a spiritual direction and be the real spiritual leader within your home. The problem is, let me tell you something, the problem is men fail far more than women do. Because often within the home, the women become the spiritual leaders and the men just kind of tag along. It ought to be the other way around. And that's, you know, that's not God's plan. And I'm grateful for strong, faithful women who love the Lord and have kept their family, you know, faithful in the Lord and who are doing what they're supposed to do. And I'll say more to them. I feel more bold getting on to men than I do women anyway. So I'll get on to them more on Father's Day. But, you know, but there are some spiritual things that we can learn, I think, from a couple of mothers in the Scripture. And, you know, we read about them, but I kind of introduced you to them a little bit. There was a young woman named Eunice. She was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, which was Lois. They loved and studied the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. They probably memorized them within their own lives and on their hearts. They enjoyed going to the worship. And but as she approached her teenage years, Eunice fell in love with an attractive young man who was not into her religion at all. She was Jewish and he was Greek. All we know about him was basically that he was a Greek and he was a non-Jewish man. We never know anything else about him. But when we start talking about Timothy, the influence that they had on Timothy, which was the young child, did not come from that father, but it came from the grandmother and his mother, Eunice, as they had that child. You know, they loved that little boy. And according to Timothy 3, from his very childhood, from his infancy, they taught him Scriptures. They taught him Old Testament Scriptures. They told him the Old Testament stories. It was an important part of their life to read the Scripture and to be a part of that. and in the Old Testament. I think both mother and grandmother spent time with little young Timothy, growing him up and helping to understand that. But there came a day when a preacher came to town by the name of Paul, and when Paul began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, some of the Old Testament scriptures began to open up to them, and they realized that what Paul was saying was true, and that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all of that. And both Eunice and Lois came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they began to pour their lives into that young boy, Timothy, and he, you know, came to that place where also he was converted and came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and as his Lord. And later, you know, in his ministry, in Paul's ministry, young Timothy was to become a missionary partner to the Apostle Paul. And Paul called him his son in the Lord and his son in the ministry. And he imparted unto him these instructions, two letters he wrote to Timothy that are still a part of the scriptures that we study and learn from today, that was inspired because of a young man who was raised in a Christian home by grandmothers and a mother who were Christian. We know little about the father, but who came to know the Lord as a result of that and became the ministry servant as because of that. Now, with that background, I draw on these three passages of Scripture I read to talk about some things that ought to be instilled in all of our children and basically in all of us as we think about that. The first one is we need to instill a respect for Scripture, a respect for the Bible. Folks, I'm telling you, the Bible is indeed the Word of God. It is never wrong. It never can be questioned. It doesn't matter how logical, reasonable it is. It doesn't matter what all the leaders of the world are saying. I'm telling you, the Scripture is our guide for what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live. And it is, you know, it is to be the guide of everything that happens in our lives. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul has reminded Timothy that if we live a godly life, we're going to face some persecution in this world. Now, if you stand on the Scripture like that, in our world today, I promise you there's going to be those who are going to persecute you. But he said, Timothy, you're going to come to some hard times. But when you do, remember this. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of because you know from whom you learned it. He's saying, continue basically in the Word and in the Scripture because you have been taught it from all of your life, the Scripture is important. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and how from your infancy, how from your little childhood, even as you begin to crawl around, is what that word means. From the youngest of his days, you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the primary goal of Scripture and the Bible, is that we might live in such a way and act in such a way that we come to that place to know that there's salvation in only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And folks, there's no other way people are going to be saved. That's what the Scripture says. Now, we listen to the media and all this world today telling us there are all these different kind of ways to get to God and all those kind of things. And I'm telling you, they're all of the devil. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that all these other religions, their gods are nothing more than demons. There's one true God in all the world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. And He is the great creator of all things, and all things were by Him, created by Him and for Him. And Jesus Christ is the only way anybody is ever going to make it into heaven. The Scriptures is the very guide that leads us to salvation in Jesus Christ. If you read the Scripture and you don't know Jesus, then what the Scripture is going to be teaching you is to come to the place to trust Christ and to, you know, give your life to Him. And then the other things that it teaches is as we grow up and surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit will lead us to be the witnesses to help other people come to know Christ. That is what the Scripture is about. Now, this family practiced the commands of the Old Testament. When they were, the nation of Israel was going into to possess the land, Moses stood before them in the book of Deuteronomy, and he shared some truths. And one of the things he said is that you're to teach the people the statutes and in your laws. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit in your home and you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up." Now, I believe that was typical of what Eunice and Lois were doing. They talked about them every day. They shared scripture with young Timothy from the time he was a child. They taught him the things of God. Folks, I'm telling you, it's never too early to begin teaching your children about how they can know God and love Him and are to obey Him and to come to that place of salvation. Read the story of four scholars who were sitting around talking about Bible translations, and one of them said he loved the King James Version because of its beauty and the eloquent English, and another one of them said, well, I love the American Standard, and that's what I preach from because it's literal and, you know, most literal translation of all the translations I've found and true to the Greek text. And it moves the passage with confidence that we know it's accurate. You know, and then another one said, well, I like a Living New Translation, some of these new paraphrases, because they're so contemporary and their meaning seems to become clear. The fourth guy sat around for a little bit and he didn't say anything. And finally they all looked at him and he just kind of said, well, he said, I tell you what I prefer. I prefer the translation of my mother. And they looked at him kind of funny and he said, yeah, she translated scripture, but my mom translated each page of the Bible into life. And it was the most convincing translation that I've ever read. Folks, I'm telling you, when we apply the scriptures to our lives and to our hearts, we'll touch not only our children, but the rest of our family and our world and those that are around us. So we're to instill a respect for scripture. Now that ought to be true in all of our lives. But here's an example of two women who actually did that for young Timothy. And then they not only did that, but they instilled an authentic faith. In 2 Timothy 1:5, in the first chapter, it says, I remind you of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that now lives in you also. An authentic, sincere, real faith. You see, even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to the place in his life where he put his own faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is not hereditary. Faith is, and salvation is not something that we can inherit from somebody else. You know, we can talk, I don't know how many times, and I say this kind of jokingly, but I probably talk to, 100 folks in my lifetime when you're trying to share about Jesus and they say, well, you know, my old grandpappy was a preacher. It's like that's going to get them to heaven, you know. Folks, you're not going to heaven because granddaddy preached. You're not going to heaven because your daddy preached. You're going to go to heaven one way or the other because you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we have the influence to be able to influence our family and our children and our friends and to teach them to have organic faith, but we have to teach them as your personal responsibility. It is your personal choice. You have to make that decision for yourself. You're not going to heaven because of the family you were raised in or not raised in. You're going to go there because you put a faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. I saw that faith in your grandmother and in your mother, but I also am sure that it is in you as well. He was confident that Timothy had come to the place. He had a real confident faith in his own life, and he had trusted him. The word sincere literally means unhypocritical. It was real without pretense or fakeness. But it's something that had taken up residence within his heart, and he had a true relationship with the Father, an authentic faith in Jesus Christ. Read about a pastor, had a long conversation with a young man who wanted to talk about becoming a member of his church. And when he had done talking, the young man said, yeah, I want to join the church. And the man said, well, what did I say to convince you? He said, you said nothing. He said, it was nothing I ever heard you say, but it was the way my mother lived. Because when we see other people living for Christ in front of us, that is the influence that leads us to a genuine faith in Christ. You know, we're to pass that faith on as an authentic faith. Now, I believe that means we must be a praying people, and certainly a praying, if we apply it to the women today, you must be, I don't think you can have an authentic faith without being a woman of prayer. Any home which has faith passed from generation to generation is a home of prayer. We read in Acts 12 that the mother of John Mark opened her home to a prayer meeting while Peter was in prison. In Acts 1:14, Mary, the very mother of Jesus, joined together constantly in prayer with the disciples. Folks, that is the hallmark of a godly mother, is to being a woman of prayer. And Timothy's family environment was the fertile ground from which real, authentic faith could grow, where a person comes to that place where he trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's what our homes ought to be, that ground where it can grow and where people can see and understand and come to the place that they trust Jesus. They instilled in him respect for Scripture. They instilled in him an authentic faith. But I think they also instilled in him a desire to minister. Or in Acts chapter 16, as Paul came to Lystra, it says there was a young man in that town who was a disciple. That means that Timothy had grown up to the place that he had trusted Christ. And it said there was a disciple named Timothy whose mother was Jewish and a believer. Now, she come out of the Jewish faith and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But her father was Greek. His father was Greek. You know, and all around the borders of Lystra, they spoke well of young Timothy. And so Paul wanted to take him with him on his journey. It had a little falling out, if you know the story of the Acts, on his first missionary journey, where he had a falling out with John Mark. Now he wanted to replace John Mark with Timothy's assistance, and Timothy went with him. See, because Timothy had a desire to minister, to serve, to give his life away. See, I see three things that marked him off as a minister who was willing to serve. First of all, Timothy was a strong believer. He was called a disciple. That is, one who not only has made a faith in Christ, but who is changing his life and disciplining his life so that it is molded to become like Christ. He is a disciple of Christ. He is growing in his understanding and his relationship to grow up in Christ. You know. And then second, he had a good reputation. The believers in all the earth spoke well of him. He was a man of integrity and of his word. He might be one of those who was rock solid, you know, I think it had a lot to do with how he was raised. And third, he was available. See, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. And then there in the book of Acts, we see that Timothy undoubtedly was eager to go. He was available. And he was willing to go through some tough stuff in order to do it, because he had never been circumcised by having a Greek father. And so Paul said, "You can't go with me because we're fixing to go minister to all these Jews. And, you know, they're not going to understand unless you are circumcised." And so he paid a price and a sacrifice because he was willing to go and to serve God, you know, knowing that he was going to face some hardships, you know. And then Paul spoke of Timothy as his beloved son. He called him his own son in the faith. And he said, "Now I have no," and he spoke of him in Philippians and said, "I have no one else like him who teaches a genuine interest in your welfare." He was one who not only was saved, but who was willing to serve and to minister and to give his life away unto other people. Folks, we're not saved just to come in here and sit in a bench on Sunday morning. We're saved to give our lives away in ministry and service to God and to be His witnesses and to say, what can I do? Where can I serve? Where can I give my life? And that's when joy really begins to come out of our Christian life, when we're giving ourselves away unto other people in ministry and in service. One of the great examples in history of a mother who touched the world was Savannah Wesley. She was a mother of 17 children. Two of them was John and Charles Wesley. They literally, through the ministry, their preaching ministry, they touched and changed not only England, but also in Europe, but also America. One of the greatest preachers. Charles Wesley actually is the founder of what we know as the Methodist Church, for he was methodical in what he did. You know, but in addition, she not only the 17 children, but I don't know how she found time, but the testimony is that she took every child aside for 1 hour every week and helped that child and discussed spiritual matters with it. came across some parenting guidelines that she used to raise her children. She said to subdue self-will in a child and thus work with God to save their soul. Second, teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. Third, give a child nothing he cries for. My kids always disagree with that one, but that's the way I was. If they get in the floor and pitch a fit and carry on, folks, they didn't get what they were, they never got what they were begging for at that point, you know. But only give them what's good for them if they ask for it politely. You know, prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior, and strictly observe all promises you've made to your child. Good guidelines. But folks, here's the example of women who knew God and loved God, gave their lives away to God. They touched and changed our world. But three things that Eunice and Lois instilled in Timothy was the respect and love for the Scripture, an authentic faith where every person had to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord themselves, and then a desire for ministry, making sure that we're saved to serve Him, to give our lives away for Him. So I ask of you this morning, do you really have a relationship with God, whether you're a woman or a man or whoever you may be within that home? Are you absolutely certain that your faith is authentic and that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If not, this is the day. If God has made you aware of the fact that you're not sure about that salvation, then you need today to make that decision to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And then, are we being godly as God called us to be, and giving our lives away in service to serve others and to be the ministers that God has called us to be? If you've got some young people or children here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. The greatest gift you could ever give one of your parents is for you to come to the place to trust Him as your Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity we have to be here to learn from Scripture. And though as we talk about these things in our own lives, we feel inadequate and realize that we are not perfect and that we've often failed even in our own lives. But Father, that doesn't change the truth. You are the one who instructed us in these matters. And we can trust You that You're right. And so we pray that through the presence of Your Holy Spirit today, You'll bring us to that place where we'll trust Scripture to know that the only way we can know You is through Your Son Jesus, and that Your Holy Spirit will point out our sin and point us to Your Son Jesus Christ. Convict us of those things that need to change in our lives. Bring us to the place of surrender. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.